today we're remembering and thanking God for Augustine Pippo, who died this day in 430, I think. And I could talk about Augustine for about an hour, but we'll not do that. Years and years ago, I was accompanying a couple into a newcomer's dinner at my church. And there were about 8 tables set out. And on each table was a bottle of red wine and a bottle of white wine. And we came into the parish home, and the woman looked like she'd been shocked. And she said, "Oh my God, is that wine?" And I said, "It is." And she said, "You serve wine?" And I said, "We do." She was coming from a very particular kind of faith tradition in the Christian family that was remarkably suspicious of things like wine, playing cards, and dancing. And so, understandably, it felt. And I said to her, "Have you never read Augustine?" And she said, "Who?" And I said, "Augustine of Hippo. He would say that wine is a gift of creation. Like all gifts, it can be misused. But it's still a gift." That's what's important to remember about Augustine, one thing at least. This is a gift. It is all grace. It is all from God. And it is God's delight that we should have. Now, Augustine, he had a category that he called orders of love. It's fine to love my shoes, but I shouldn't love my shoes above my children. And it's fine to love my children, but I shouldn't love my children above God. It's all love. But Augustine would speak of orders of our love. And to remember the great love. In a wonderful sermon, let me see if I can find it real quick. Where is it? He writes, "Suppose, brethren, a man should make a ring for his betrothed, and he should love the ring more wholeheartedly than the betrothed who made it for him. Certainly, let her love his gift, but if she should say, 'The ring is enough, I do not want to see his face again,' what would we say of her? The pledge is given her by the betrothed, just that in his pledge, he himself may be loved. God then has given you all these things. Love him who made them. It's not that we don't love the ring, but love the one who gave it to us." Now, Augustine is the principal intellectual source for all theology, Christian theology in the West, since he was alive, and really the intellectual world of the West. I love him because he always asks the right questions. And if he didn't know the answer, he'd say, "I don't know." I think he got some things wrong. His doctrine of original sin is misguided. But that's because his biology was wrong, not because his theology was wrong. He was a bishop, so he got embroiled in all kinds of church fights. And Augustine absolutely, in his humility, knew he was the smartest person in the Mediterranean. He just did, and he was. The most deeply faithful thing that the church probably has produced, he and Aquinas. His first big battle was with the Donatists in North Africa, and that's too long a story to tell. But the Donatists, as he understood them, thought that sanctity, God's grace, abided only in their church and nobody else's. Which, you know, Augustine countered with Jesus' parable of the wheat and the tares, which is there's plenty of wheat growing in here, and there's plenty of weeds growing in here too. But I'm just going to hear, when you hear something of his voice as a bishop who was saying, "Here's what it is, y'all." Augustine returned upon this great rival church, the ominous contempt of a man who knew that the ineluctable course of history was on his side. Augustine said, "The clouds roll with thunder that the house of the Lord shall be built throughout the earth, and these frogs sit in the marsh and croak. We are the only Christians. One of the great, I'll conclude with this, one of the great sort of dialectics that Augustine articulated better than anybody else, I think, is the great dialectic of grace and free will, which is to say, are we free, unaided by God's grace, to do the good? It's an unanswered question. The church has been tortured about that. Are we not of our own, as creatures of God, made in God's image? Yes, fallen. Are we not capable of bearing the image of Christ in the world without grace? Augustine would say no, but he would also say you have a will, use it, aided by grace. And I'm just going to close with this one little, just so you can hear his voice. Okay, throughout his sermons with the Pelagians, Augustine repeated this as his fundamental assertion of the relationship of grace and freedom, free will. That the healthy person is one in whom knowledge and feeling have been united, and that only such a person is capable of allowing himself to be drawn to act by the sheer irresistible pleasure of the object of his love, meaning God. Give me a man in love, Augustine says. He knows what I mean. Give me one who yearns. Give me one who is hungry. Give me one far away in this desert who is thirsty and sighs for the spring of the eternal country. Give me that sort of man. He knows what I mean. But if I speak to a cold man, he just does not know what I'm talking about. Which is that in all things, Augustine was grounded in this, in the love of God, which is the primary cause of all that is, the love of God. Now, we get that wrong.